You see new products and new brands appearing in stores all the time. It's very easy to launch a footwear brand, but it is very difficult to sustain it and to, you know, build a brand for the long term. There's a great department store called Dillard's. The founder of the company said to us, "I'm not going to put those synthetic shoes in our stores because they'll be too sweaty. I love your technology, but I'm not going to put those kind of shoes in my store." And that was a great moment for us because it said to us, you know, in simple terms, the way to describe why Vionic is so comfortable and why so many people love it and why so many people fill their whole wardrobe with Vionic shoes once they've got their first pair, it's because they...
Welcome to the Comfort Walk and Talk, where every step towards comfort is a step towards a healthier you.
We're your hosts, Ash,
Jeff,
and Ben.
Together, let's walk the talk, transforming your lives from the ground up. Welcome, everyone, to the next episode of Comfort Walk and Talk. I'm really excited to be talking today and having a really special guest to talk about the Vionic brand. The Vionic brand is probably the brand that has led the way in the comfort foot care category over the last decade. And so we're going to talk about, you know, the whys and wherewolves and where it came from, some of the background to the brand today. We've got a really special guest. He's a good friend of mine. I've known Steve for a long time now. And Steve was really at the beginning of the brand. He's had a lot of experience in retailing, you know, firstly in retail and then working with some key brands like Rockport. And then more latterly, really was one of the key founders and launchers of the Vionic brand. Steve moved to the United States in 2007, right at the beginning of the Vionic brand's journey, and was really key in launching the brand into the United States. And I'm sure he'll share with us a lot of experiences. But the thing is, they launched a grassroots or a greenfield brand in 2007, and within a few years was in the top 20 footwear brands. Amazing performance. And that's against some of the big players like Nike, etc. And Steve was instrumental and part of the team that eventually sold the brand to one of the largest footwear companies in the world, Caleres Group, or Brown Shoes at the time. And I'm sure he'll share with us some of the experiences of why they looked at the brand. Subsequent to the sale, Steve's moved back to Australia and is the chairman of the Shareholder Association of Australia, which is a pretty interesting transition of his career. And he's also advising a couple of key footwear companies, including us. So welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Jeff. Really appreciate the invitation. And I love to talk shoes. So really looking forward to the episode.
That's great. And I've also got Ben on the podcast today. So we all know Ben.
G'day,
and nice. He's helping support and ask some of those questions that I'm sure only Ben can ask.
Keep me honest.
Yeah,
exactly. Someone's got to do it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm going to start by saying, what was the aha moment or the inception, the reason for the brand?
Yeah, look, there's a lot of history with the brand. And I think, you know, the initial aha moment was Phil Vasili, our founder, our podiatrist, had a big custom orthotic lab in Australia, and he made custom orthotics for lots and lots of practitioners, chiropractors, physios, podiatrists. If you went and saw them, you'd often get a custom orthotic from Phil's lab. And he worked out over time that there was an average. There was kind of a typical orthotic that roughly 3/4 of people needed. So Phil decided to try and make a lower cost version of that than the expensive custom and sell it over the counter to people that didn't need the full custom orthotic. And that was really the birthplace of the company, if you like, was initially selling insoles or orthotics that went into people's shoes.
Who were they selling to? Who was he selling to?
Mostly podiatrists, and then some sports stores, shoe stores, pharmacies, obviously, wherever people were going, whether they had foot pain or, you know, problems with their feet. And then he figured, you know, maybe I should try and put this into some shoes. So Phil, not being a shoe guy, he went and designed a small range of shoes with that orthotic built into it. And they weren't great looking shoes. They worked. So people would wear them, particularly at home when no one saw them on their feet. But they weren't, you know, really stylish shoes. Being a podiatrist, he hadn't been a shoemaker, obviously. And the real aha moment was when he brought some shoe people into the company.
Yeah.
And Chris Gallagher, who was our CEO, he was ex-Colorado Group, you know, had a long history making great shoes for the Colorado Group at the time. he was really the guy that, you know, met Phil first and decided to, you know, work collaboratively with Phil to build a much better looking range of shoes with that technology in. So that was probably the seed that was planted, I suppose, that then over many years went on to become the Vionic brand down the track.
So we'll get on to the details. I heard, and I don't know if it's true or it's fable, but I heard one of the experiences that Phil had that gave him a bit of an idea was someone bought in a flat sandal with an insole, an arch support insole taped to the sandal.
Yeah, that's true, actually. It was one of Phil's patients, actually, in his clinic, and it was on the Gold Coast, I think it was, where, you know, flip-flops are pretty popular, obviously. And, you know, the patient was asking Phil for an orthotic that he could put in his flip-flop, and Phil's like, you can't do that, mate. It's just not something that's possible. And the patient took it on upon himself, I think, to, you know, get his custom orthotics and glue it into a pair of his own flip-flops. And he came back into the practice and, you know, showed him what he'd created. And that was, you know, again, one of those ideas that I guess Phil took and ran with and turned into, you know, the first OrthoHeal orthotic flip-flop at the time.
So does that guy have equity in the company?
I don't think he does. I don't know if he's still alive, actually. I never met him or knew what his name was, but it was a great birthplace story that Phil used to share around how we got to this point.
And you are right. I remember when I saw the first prototypes, you know, and I wasn't with the company then, but I saw, and certainly they've changed a lot. That's where your experience of footwear people coming in.
Exactly. The science was there, but the style really wasn't. And that's, you know, that's what Vionic was able to achieve over many years, was to bring style in to match the science and give people the complete package.
So what would you say the core function of a Vionic shoe has that makes it different?
Yeah, well, in simple terms, it's giving you back your footprint. So if you look at a really good orthotic, it looks a lot like a footprint. It kind of looks like your foot does on the beach if you're on the sand. And when you really look at the contour of the insole or the support that's in a Vionic shoe, it looks like a footprint, a natural footprint. So in simple terms, that's what you get in every Vionic shoe. You get your footprint back that you don't have if you're on hard flat surfaces or if you're in flat shoes that don't have any support in them, basically. So that's the, you know, in simple terms, the way to describe why Vionic is so comfortable and why so many people love it and why so many people fill their whole wardrobe with Vionic shoes once they've got their first pair. It's because they get that footprint back in all of the shoes. And it doesn't look like a medical shoe or a, you know, an orthopedic shoe. It looks like a regular, casual, active, you know, dressy shoe, whatever you're looking for, with that inbuilt technology hidden underneath.
So is the arch support or the footprint in the Vionic shoe, is it okay for a big part of the population?
Yeah, it is. As I said, Phil based the contour on the average custom orthotic that was going through his lab. So it works for about 3/4 of people, basically. Roughly, you know, 3/4 of the population, you know, have that just that basic rolling in or flattening of their foot. And the orthotic that's in the Vionic shoes is based on that average. So, you know, roughly 3/4 of people find it really helpful, supportive, comfortable. It's not going to wreck your feet if you don't need an orthotic or anything like that. It's almost like taking an aspirin for a headache you don't have, as an analogy. It's not going to, you know, make you better. It's also not going to make you worse. So if you don't really need the support, it just feels like a footprint again. If you do need the support, that's when you really notice the difference versus your flat shoes or the, you know, the hard flat floors that you might have been walking on.
Okay.
So one of the great things about the Phil Vasili story as well is that we kind of glossed over there is before he decided to make that heat molded orthotic, his be mentioned in OrthoHeal, going and seeing your podiatrist, getting those custom orthotics made up was a couple of $100 just for the orthotic alone without
and,
the footwear.
And the rest.
Yeah. So really kind of opening that up to everyone who might have foot problems to that technology.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's a bit inspiring. You love to see that in Vionic.
Yeah, absolutely. And Phil always told the story that, you know, the OrthoHeal brand actually started in the early 90s and we actually had a pretty tough recession in Australia in the early 90s. And despite that, the sales of OrthoHeal really boomed. And I think the reason Phil always put it down to was that it was low cost. It was a really affordable way for people to get some support and some relief versus the really expensive custom orthotic if they couldn't afford it or their health fund wasn't covering it or whatever it was. So it is a much lower cost alternative than the custom. If someone needs a custom orthotic, of course they should go and get a custom orthotic. But most people don't need a fully customized orthotic. They can get away with just the average, you know, footprint basically that's in the Vionic shoes.
So tell me a little bit about, you mentioned OrthoHeal. and we're talking Vionic.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about the relationship with Authorheal and Vionic.
Yeah, so it's an interesting story. I mean, Authorheal was the original brand name, the retail brand name that consumers would go into their pharmacy or the sports store and buy. And, you know, we loved the brand name and it was a really, you know, successful brand at the time. But when we got to the US, we actually launched it as Authorheal as well, because that's what the company and the brand was called at the time. And after a couple of years, we realized that we were making more and more stylish shoes. You know, we were getting really good feedback from consumers. Consumers were loving the products that we were delivering, but we were getting more and more feedback that, you know, the shoes are getting more stylish and the Authorheal name doesn't really make as much sense on a stylish, you know, sandal or a dress shoe or a ballerina or whatever it might have been. So we really wrestled for about 6 months with this idea of, you know, should we change the name of the shoe? We've got lots of loyal customers that love Authorheal. Is it a smart decision to change the name? And as I said, over about 6 months, we decided we were going to do that. We did a lot of, you know, chatting with our customers and chatting with our retailers and made the bold decision to change the brand name of what was at the time a fast-growing, successful brand. And we changed it to Vionic. And the reason it was called Vionic was really the V for Vasily. And then the Ionic was kind of like, you know, bionic almost or biomechanical, that idea of movement and support. Yeah. And it was, we thought it was a nice name and also a name that no one else was using, obviously, which is important when you're talking about brand names. So so that's really was the decision to change the name from Authorheal to Vionic. And we spent a few years explaining that to people that if you've had a if you've had an Authorheal shoe before, the Vionic shoe is the same shoe. It's just a different name, basically. So it took us a little while to explain that. But after a couple of years, I think most people had forgotten about the Authorheal name at that point, and they were just, you know,
that's in the US,
knowing Vionic in the US. Exactly.
I mean, of course, Authorheal still runs as Shoal in Australia.
Exactly.
And then there's Vionic as well.
Yeah, that's
right. Two different. But they're similar technologies.
That's right. It's the same kind of contour and idea in both brands, really, isn't it? So you're getting the best of both worlds, whichever way you go.
Yeah. Now, I heard obviously at the time you launched into the US, one of the things that is one of those stories that's really is still amazing, and I really want you to, you know, tell our audience about it because it's fundamental, is that you arrived in the US and you had one style, or maybe two.
Yep.
You tell me, which is unheard of for a footwear brand, right? And you'd ordered some product and then the GFC hit.
That's right.
So take us from that because that's fundamental to the brand.
Yeah, look, our timing wasn't great. So we decided early 2007 to move to the US and I think I was the second person there along with Bruce, who was the first person to head over there. And then a few months later, you know, the GFC really kicked off. And we kind of, you know, tossed and turned about what should we do? Should we pack up and go back to the safety of Australia and back to all of our friends and family, or should we stick it out? Fortunately, we decided to stick it out. And it was a pretty tough first 12 months when, you know, everyone was doing it pretty tough, or most people were doing it pretty tough through that GFC period. But we were lucky that we had a couple of retailers and a few of our, you know, medical partners that were supporting us with those couple of shoes that we decided to launch the brand with. It was the flip-flop and the slide, so not particularly expansive or complicated range for people to get their head around. And I think a bit like I talked about earlier with Phil, you know, mentioning in the early 90s that Authorheal did really well in a recession. Well, Vionic was still a very low-cost option at that point for consumers that had foot problems or, you know, needed real support. So we actually did quite well even during the GFC. The sales were quite good in that first 12 months and that gave us the confidence, obviously, to keep going and really start expanding the range from there.
So you had that success, the initial customer or confirmation, and then pretty quickly you had a massive range. So what was the process? Where did you get your inspiration?
Yeah, well, there's a phenomenon in the US called QVC, and it's a TV shopping channel basically. And we have an equivalent in Australia called TVSN. So if you've watched TVSN, it's very similar, but on a much larger scale. QVC is the biggest TV shopping retailer in the world. And basically we decided to put our Vionic flip-flop on the QVC channel for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And they placed what was a pretty big order for us at the time. And we flew over, Phil went over to Philadelphia where QVC is based and decided to launch the brand to millions of households across America that were watching QVC. And fortunately, the flip-flops sold out in about 5 minutes. So wow. It was incredibly popular. And that gave QVC some confidence, obviously, to want to, you know, do more shows with the Vionic brand. And they were really, you know, encouraging us to expand the range from that point because they needed more than one shoe, obviously, to keep putting on TV. So over the course of the next couple of years, we started adding in a lot more uppers, you know, different stylish sandals and stylish materials on that same, you know, Vionic bottom with the technology in it. And all of those did incredibly well too each time they're on air. And that got QVC so confident that they decided to give us a product of the day opportunity a couple of years later. And basically we put a different version of our flip-flop on QVC one day in early spring over there as the product of the day. And I think we sold somewhere around 50,000 pairs, I think it was.
You're kidding me.
In about half a day. It was amazing. Like it sold out by lunchtime. So that really told us we were onto something.
Wow.
There's a lot of consumers that needed this support, that liked the idea of the support. And from there, you know, the range expanded very quickly.
Is that just one style?
One style, yeah. I mean, it's amazing. 50,000 pairs of flip-flops sold in, you know, in one half a day, basically.
Product of half the day.
Yeah, it's just the scale's incredible. So yeah, it was a great confidence booster for everybody, obviously, that consumers really liked what we were offering and that, you know, the style and the price point and the support was striking a chord with Americans that had never heard of the brand before, obviously, until that point. So
amazing.
So yeah. It's not the only time you guys have gone on TV. I've seen you've actually become one of Oprah's favourite things.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That was a few years later, probably, you know, 7 or 8 years into our journey. But if you aren't as familiar with that, every Christmas time Oprah selects a range of products that she really thinks are wonderful and would make great Christmas gifts for people, and it's called Oprah's Favourite Things. And we were fortunate that a couple of years in a row she selected our slipper as one of her favourite things for Christmas. Now, obviously, Christmas time over there, it's winter, so it's good time for slippers. And we had a great time with consumers trying our slippers for the first time because Oprah was recommending them and wearing them herself, obviously. So,
did you ever get to meet her?
I didn't meet her personally, but a lot of our team did. Yeah, she's an amazing lady, and our president at the time of the company had worked with her on a previous brand as well, and had a really good relationship with her. So yeah, it was great to work with Oprah and have her recommendation for our house slipper that we still sell today here in Australia, and is, you know, one of the most popular styles I think in the range still.
Unreal.
So on TV, back to the TV shopping experience. Obviously, on TV, there's obviously a lot of footwear sold on TV. So how did you communicate to the customer that you had something special with Vionic or on a flip-flop?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, fortunately, there's a great way you can actually demonstrate what Vionic does for your feet. And we had a foot model, basically, that we kind of did an example of to show you, you know, what's happening with your feet and the positioning of your feet when you're walking around in flat flip-flops or flat shoes or on bare feet on flat ground. And for most people, that's that kind of rolling in or flattening of their arch. And then with some lines on the leg, we're able to illustrate that, you know, when you get into the Vionic technology, it really helps realign or reposition your foot and get you into more of a natural position. So when we would do that demonstration and show people the difference with and without the contour and the support that was in the shoe, that was often, you know, a catalyst for people to, you know, decide to pick up the phone and order a pair and try them out for themselves if they hadn't had them before. So great way to kind of demonstrate. And you can feel it, obviously, yourself. If you're at home and you know, try them on for the first time, you can really feel the difference. It doesn't feel like it's not cushioning or a gimmick or anything. You can really feel the difference in the position of your foot and how it feels under your foot when you put the shoes on versus a flat shoe.
And what is sort of alignment do from, you know, the basic practical perspective to someone? What does that sort of help?
Yeah, well, there's obviously a chain reaction when you align or misalign someone's foot. So, you know, if you think about it, our foot's, you know, striking the ground or, you know, impacting the ground, and then, you know, the rest of our body normally follows. So when your foot rolls in, your leg rolls in, your hips tend to move forward or roll forward. So it's kind of a, you know, leg bones connected to the hip bone kind of story. So there is a chain reaction, and that means if your foot's misaligned, obviously it can lead to other problems in your knees, in your hips, in your back, et cetera. And there's lots of reasons people get those aches and pains too, of course, but certainly misaligned or, you know, a non-natural alignment of your foot can lead to those other kinds of aches and pains for some people. So basically, again, when you put that footprint back under your foot and give you back that kind of that more natural position that you'd be if you're on sand, soil, grass, where there's a bit of give in the ground, you'll feel, most people will feel the difference, and, you know, it can often help realign the whole body from there.
So Vionic were one of the first to, well, were the first to implement that medical grade arch support into shoes. Since then, there's been a lot of competitors come out doing similar things. What could you say is the Vionic difference? What sets Vionic apart?
Yeah, there's a lot of angles in the orthotic that are in the Vionic shoe that are not just an arch support. So like when you go to the the shoe store, the pharmacy or whatever, you can buy cheap arch supports. And if you look at them, they really are just kind of like a bump or a lump or whatever that goes under your arch. And that's not terrible, but it's not a full natural position that your foot would be in if you looked at a footprint on the beach. So when you look at the Vionic contour, it's based on 50,000 custom orthotics that went through Phil's lab. And there's a lot of little angles and shapes and contours that are in there that give you back a much, you know, better or more complete alignment than just putting an arch support or some cushioning or something like that under your foot. So, you know, look, it's not rocket science, but there is a lot of stuff going on in that contour that we think is based on, you know, the best science or the best, history that was out there with all those custom contours that came through the lab over many, many years.
I guess related to that question is, you know, you sold to one of the largest footwear companies in the world. Why did they buy Vionic?
Well, there was a couple of reasons. The brand obviously had grown incredibly quickly, which was, you know, a signal that consumers loved what we were offering. You know, we had a great contour, but we were also putting a lot of really good styles onto that contour. When we sold the brand, it was a tough decision because we were going really well. But it had also been, you know, very a lot of hard work and pretty exhausting, going through such rapid growth for, you know, nearly 15 years, I think it was at that point. So they really wanted to buy the brand because they could see its potential and they could help us realize its potential in the US more than we could on our own, because they had, you know, lots more distribution and lots more, you know, production and design capabilities and all that kind of thing. So I think the main attraction was how well the brand was doing and how many raving fans we had. We had millions of customers that were, you know, regularly and still do, you know, write about how great an experience they've had with the product and what they love about it and why they want it in their closet. So I think, you know, it was really the success of the brand and what they thought they could do to help us keep growing that was the catalyst for that decision.
Right. And in terms of, you know, when you said the company itself and growing, what would you say the secret ingredient of like the culture or the business philosophy was? Were these Aussies that went across to the US and actually were one of the few success stories of Aussies going into the US?
Yeah, it's not easy. I mean, a lot of Aussie companies in all different industries go to the US and don't make it. And it is very competitive. Like, it is amazing how much competition, even just regionally, there'll be businesses and stores and, you know, competitors that you've never heard of if you haven't been to that region of the country before.
Well, I remember going to those shows.
Exactly.
And there's 2,000 footwear companies.
That's right. You know. Yeah. And that's one of the things I think in the footwear industry, it's very easy to launch a footwear brand. And that's why as a customer, you see new products and new brands appearing in stores all the time. It's not a very expensive industry to start a brand, but it is very difficult to sustain it and to, you know, build a brand for the long term that consumers love. So you see a lot of brands disappear as well. You see a lot of fashion trends come and go, etc. And it's not a high growth industry, the footwear industry. You know, it normally grows at 3-4% a year. So for a brand to be really successful, you have to be doing something different and you have to be doing something that other brands aren't doing normally to survive. But I think, the real kind of one of the real catalysts for success culturally with the brand was we had a huge focus on our customers. We really focused on our customers. We read all the reviews. We looked at all the ratings. We looked at what the reasons if customers were returning our shoes, what was wrong with them. And we were very quick to stop doing things. So if there was a new construction or a new material or a shoe that wasn't working, we'd take it out of our range very quickly so that customers didn't keep having a negative experience with that shoe. There's a great department store in the south of the US called Dillard's.
Okay.
And they're a little bit like David Jones here in Australia. And the president of Dillard's, the founder of the company, I remember sitting with him once and we were presenting our new range of shoes to him, and we were using a lot of synthetic uppers on the shoes at that point in time because they were, you know, lower cost and that was the factory capability we had. And he said to us, I'm not going to put those synthetic shoes in our stores because down in the south it's hot and it's humid, especially in summertime, and they'll be too sweaty. Our customers' feet won't breathe in those shoes. So I love your technology, but I'm not going to put those kind of shoes in my store. And that was a great moment for us because it said to us, okay, we want to, you know, we want to do closed-in shoes, but we have to move to leather and textiles where they're going to be much more breathable and better for people's feet. So there's some examples like that where we decided to stop doing things to make shoes that customers were going to love. And whenever they didn't love the shoes, we took them out of the range very quickly and moved on to something else.
One of the great things about Vonage, you were saying before, is you moved on from being that very kind of medical grade arch support just put into a shoe to now being really stylish, to being, you know, something that people would be proud to wear from their day to day. Where did that inspiration come from?
Yeah, I think it was born out of, you know, again, a lot of customer feedback. You know, we had a very basic range of flip-flops and slides to begin with. And when they were selling, our customers were saying to us, you know, I'd love a walking shoe that had this technology in it, or I'd love a ballet flat that had this technology in it, or I'd love a slipper that had this technology in it. So it was really, you know, again, customer feedback. Our customers that were loving the, you know, the simple shoes that we started with were telling us they wanted those other kind of styles with the technology or the support in it as well. And each time we introduced something that was a bit more stylish and, you know, had a bit more of a design flair to it, most of the time those shoes sold really well. So that obviously, you know, gave us the confidence to keep pushing and to keep bringing great new materials and embellishments and designs into the range. So yeah, again, really customer driven. It was the customers basically that were demanding we you know, brought more style and more design into the brand over time.
How big was the design team?
We only started with one designer. Okay. When obviously when you've got two shoes, you don't need a lot of designers. But I guess 10 years later, we probably had 20 people working in the design team between quality control, fit, design, et cetera, as well as, you know, in turn having our own factories overseas as well. So we had, you know, dedicated Vionic factories that were only making our shoes so that they became real specialists. And that's not typical in the shoe industry. If you're a smaller brand, you normally have to share a factory with lots of other brands because you don't have enough, you know, volume, I suppose, to have your own factory. So it is a big advantage, which is where we ended up having your own factory so that you can really control the quality and the workmanship in your factory.
So what kind of person would you recommend Vionic shoes to?
Yeah, definitely someone that is concerned or cares about, you know, how their feet feel, first of all. You know, if you've got any of those little, you know, aches and pains and problems with your feet, then it's certainly worth, you know, giving Vionic a go and testing it out. I think, you know, again, if you're looking for style and you want a bit more support than you get in a traditional stylish or, you know, fashion shoe, that's another reason to try Vionic. Most people, when they look at Vionic shoes, wouldn't have any idea that there's any kind of, you know, orthotic support in there. They're not, you know, that's not being screamed out on the label or anything like that. And it's also not, you know, visually not normally noticeable. So if you, you know, if you're style conscious, you can still wear Vionic without anyone noticing or feeling like you've got some kind of, you know, medical support in your shoe.
Nice. And what would be the sort of key success sort of categories or styles that Vionic have been known for in shoes?
Yeah, well, look, coming from the Gold Coast in Australia originally, it's still the flip-flops and the sandals. I mean, they're the biggest seller in the range. And when you look at what most, particularly women, what most women have in their closet, nearly every woman has multiple sandals in her closet, and particularly in Australia. So they're probably the most popular items still in the range. The slippers are pretty popular for people that, particularly people that have got problems with their feet. It's much better to walk around at home in your slippers with some support in them than walking around on the tiles or the wooden floors or whatever it is, you know, in wintertime without any support. The ballet flats are still really popular, and then the active shoes, the walking and the casual shoes. They're really the, you know, the most popular.
So less fashion type silhouettes, more just really everyday shoes.
Yeah, it's the brand loyalists, the people that absolutely love the brand tend to be the ones that try the fashion shoes or the dress shoes. Yeah. But again, most people have got a sandal, a walking shoe, a slipper in their closet. So it's not surprising that they're kind of the best sellers in the range as well, because lots of people wear those shoes regularly.
And would you say the so someone who's buying Vionic, will the arch support or the alignment be consistent across the range?
Absolutely, yeah. I think certainly across all the flat shoes, you should have the same kind of feel and support under your foot. If you come up into a heel, anything above about an inch in height, heel height, the contour does change a little bit there. It's less about supporting your heel and more about kind of supporting your forefoot. So all the flat shoes should feel pretty similar. When you come up into heels, you'll have a bit more forefoot support and less heel support kind of thing going on in a high heel shoe.
Awesome. And what do you think's next for Varnik?
Yeah, hopefully more of the same. I mean, there's a lot of great styles in the range, and there's, you know, many years of loyal customers now that have, you know, discovered the brand and like how it feels. So, you know, I would imagine, and I'm not involved anymore with the design team, obviously, at Varnik, so I would imagine they're going to continue to work on putting the latest, greatest styles and materials onto that, you know, great bottom. And that's one of the beauties of Varnik. It's not a particular look. So if, you know, metallics are really hot this season, you can put metallics onto the Varnik shoes. If next season it's, you know, woven uppers, you can put woven uppers or, you know, fabrics or whatever it might be. So there is a lot of flexibility in the brand to move with whatever the trends are in the footwear industry. So if you love the support, you should be able to get, you know, whatever the on-trend looks are each season if the designers are doing their job.
As you mentioned before, loyal customers, is that a big thing with Varnik? People buy who start using Varnik?
Absolutely. Yeah. We call them our raving fans. You know, there's a lot of really loyal customers that once they discover that support, they don't want to go back to, you know, unsupportive or uncomfortable shoes again. So our raving fans would normally fill their closet with, you know, Varnik shoes. And we still have lots of raving fans all over the world that, you know, hopefully are telling their friends and family about the experience they've had as well.
After this podcast, we might have a few more, hey?
Fingers crossed.
Let's hope.
Well, that's been a great discussion. I really have enjoyed it. I mean, I think hopefully our customers and listeners have learned a little bit more about Varnik, the ones that haven't experienced Varnik. For the Varnik brand in Australia, it can be found at leading shoe retailers. There's at least four TV shopping shows a year, and we have two great websites, varnikshoes.com.au and thecomfortco.com.au. So you can find everything you want to know about the brand and the different styles available today. But thanks, Steve. Really informative and helpful.
My pleasure. And yeah, thanks so much for your support. And you're doing a great job with the brand in Australia. So yeah, much appreciated.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, listeners. See you next week.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you for listening to the Comfort Walk and Talk. If this episode has stepped up your foot care game, we'd love your support with a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
And don't forget to subscribe on your favourite platform so you never miss a step on your journey to comfort.
And for more insights, follow us at our social channels at The Comfort Walk and Talk. Walk comfortably until we meet again.